Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There was once a very successful producer of plays named Jed Harris, the most successful of his plays being Thornton Wilder's Our Town, which you have seen on many stages, high school, even professional theaters. In the midst of one busy season of productions, with all the details that impinge upon a producer's time, Jed Harris felt like he was losing his hearing. Even the people closest to him, he could not hear, so he was losing many details in the conversations. He went to a renowned audiologist who listened intently as Jed Harris described his lack of hearing. He examined Harris' ears carefully, then out of his vest pocket took a gold-plated watch, held it up, and said, "Can you hear this?" Harris said, "Yes, I can." He moved farther away to the door of the office, held it up, and Harris focused and said, "Yes, it is still audible." Then he moved into the next room a little ways. And after a while, Harris said, "Yes, I can still hear it." The doctor came back into the room, sat down, put the watch back into his vest. He said, "Mr. Harris, this is a phenomenon that we see every once in a while, particularly with very successful people. The fact is, your hearing is excellent. You have stopped listening." Are we guilty sometimes of hearing but not listening? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus quotes Isaiah saying, "But this people's heart has grown dull. Their ears are stopped up and their eyes cannot see." But Jesus adds, "But your eyes can see. You are blessed because your ears hear." Could we add, we are further blessed when those ears hear and eyes see with understanding. Though he was a decade older than I worked with a young man named Terrell in my first congregation in South Dakota. He was a door-to-door feed salesman and active in every part of the congregation's life, especially worship. His mom was the church custodian. One day he walked into my office unannounced, plopped down, and said, "I hate my job." Well, that's a pretty blunt way to start a conversation. As a door-to-door feed salesman, it was his job to go from farm to farm and convince farmers to buy his feed and other wares. The most telling thing he said in that conversation was that there were days that he would get into his pickup truck and he would drive the entire day without making one sales call. He could drive around a section of land past the same farmer's driveway 5 times and could not pull himself into the driveway. It just wasn't for him. So I asked him if he'd ever thought about changing his employment. Not an easy task in a small town with few opportunities. "Every day," he said, "I think about getting a different job every day." I said, "Well, what would you like to do?" He said, I don't have a college degree. I'm not particularly trained in anything." I said, "Well, why don't you go home and just write down on a piece of paper some of the things that you'd like to do. Pray about that, and maybe in about a week or so, we'll come back together and we'll talk about it." The next Sunday, Terrell was in worship, looking brighter than usual. A few days later, he came again unannounced to my office, and before he even sat down, he said, "I know what I want to do. I want to become a pastor." I gulped. Terrell was already well into his 30s. He had at least 2.5 years to go to earn an undergraduate degree and 4 more years of seminary training. He would be well into his 40s before he was done with that, with many years of little or no income while going to school part-time. I couldn't see how this was going to work. But Terrell said, I've been praying about this. I've been thinking about this actually from the time I was a boy. But whenever I got that thought, I put it out of my head by saying, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't know enough about the Bible. I just wasn't listening. But now I'm listening. I think God wants me to be a pastor. He made it. He served for more than 20 years as a Lutheran pastor before retiring just a few years ago. We have an important lesson that we have heard in our reading from the Old Testament today from Samuel, a story that involves a woman named Hannah who was not able to have children and went to the temple in Shiloh to pray so fervently for a baby. She promised God that if she were given a son, she would give that son up to the Lord. She was blessed with a baby, and she named him Samuel, which means God hears. We are talking about hearing and listening today. Even God hears. More importantly, God listens, and God does something about it. When Samuel is about at the age of 3, Hannah makes good on her promise and brings Samuel to the temple at Shiloh and gives him up for Samuel's lifetime to be of service to the Lord. Samuel takes up residence, even at age 3, in the temple at Shiloh. In today's story, we meet an older Eli and an older Samuel, perhaps about 12 years of age, according to the historian Josephus, though he could have been a little more or a little less. You have heard the story already in the reading from Samuel, the Lord calling out 4 times for Samuel. And Samuel doesn't understand and 3 times runs to the old priest Eli. Twice Eli doesn't understand, but the 3rd time Eli is doing more than hearing the words. Eli is listening to the truth behind the words. And so the 3rd time Samuel comes to him in the night, he offers the boy advice. Go and lie down. And if he calls again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Notice it does not say hear, but listen. So Samuel lies down for the 4th time. God calls out Samuel. This time the boy is ready. And he calls out, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And God goes on to tell Samuel about the new thing he is going to do in Israel, a thing that will cause, the Bible says, cause both ears of anyone who hears it to tingle. Samuel will be an important part of this new thing. He is a powerful preacher who exhorts his people to faithfulness. He is a great prophet who anoints the first 2 kings of Israel, Saul and David. He is a transition person between the judges and the kings. All because he does more than hear. He listens. First, he listens to an old priest named Eli, and then he listens for the word of the Lord. And because he listens, things happen. Because he listens, God and God's people are well served. So what of hearing and listening for us? Well, right now, most of you are hearing words. Some of them are hearing them in a different way. Blessings to us all. Or you may be listening to those words. You may be hearing words that upon leaving this place you will put out of your heart and your mind until you come again to a house of worship like this. Or you may be listening to those words and wondering what it is that God is trying to tell you through the words. You may go home and ponder these words and hear God tell you great and small things. You might hear that your neighbor is ill, but as you listen, you might go visit that neighbor or bring a hot dish or shovel that neighbor's driveway. You may hear an unkind word in a school hallway, but as you listen, you might be challenged to challenge that unkind word or to take special time to offer a kind word to the person who has been hurt. You might hear that prayer is good for the soul, or you might listen and go home and actually pray. You might not see immediate, tangible results of those prayers, but you stay at it. You speak. You listen. I challenge you to go home and pray about something for 30 days. You may not affect any particular change in that thing, but I can tell you that prayer, as you speak and as you listen, will change you. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. May we do more than hear. May we listen to what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. We will be blessed, and we will be a blessing to others. Amen. Hymn 676, please rise and sing.